From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Joe Palca reporting. Fighting continues in Mosul. Iraqi forces have pushed deeper into the heart of Mosul in their fight to retake it from Islamic State militants. One Baghdad commander says 65% to 70% of Mosul's old city has been liberated. Correspondent Heather Murdoch is there and spoke with VOA just a short time ago, explaining how imminent the defeat of ISIS is in Mosul.
I generally believe that one large push by all of the various Iraqi forces would probably mean victory. The unfortunate thing is that nobody knows exactly to what extent the humanitarian crisis is in that area that they still control. The UN has said there might be as many as 150,000 or 100,000 people in this small area trapped as human shields.
The latest word from the military is that Iraqi troops have captured Mosul's Al-Faruq neighborhood on the northwestern side of the old city. U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson says it'll be difficult for Qatar to meet some of the demands that Saudi Arabia and three of its allies are making, but urged that they negotiate an end to the standoff. Middle East Institute scholar Zubair Iqbal tells VOA the demands from Egypt, Bahrain, the United Arab Emirates, and Saudi Arabia are not a good idea.
They're really intended to create a situation where Qatar will not agree, and therefore it could possibly provide a justification to intervene. The trouble, though, is that at this moment, that particular region has one single power in place, which has influence and control over all of these actors, and that is the United States. And the United States quite clearly doesn't want things to be upset.
Four of Qatar's neighbors severed diplomatic ties 2 weeks ago on grounds Doha was fomenting terrorism in the region. This is VOA News. Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi is in the U.S., where today he'll be meeting at the White House with President Trump. RAND Corporation scholar Rafiq Dosani says the two have areas of agreement, but they are quite different.
I don't think they could be further apart in terms of where they come from. Mr. Modi comes deeply from within a political machine. Mr. Trump is a genuine outsider to Washington. Mr. Modi is a genuine insider to Delhi.
Mr. Trump tweeted he was looking forward to discussing strategic issues with someone that he calls a true friend. Colombian officials say at least 6 people are dead and 31 missing after a ferry boat with about 170 passengers capsized on a reservoir at a popular tourist destination near the city of Medellin. Visiting the scene of the accident, President Juan Manuel Santos said the boat did not appear to be overloaded. The cause of the accident is unclear. Noted Chinese dissident and Nobel Peace Prize winner Liu Xiaobo has been released from prison on a medical parole. He was diagnosed with late-stage liver cancer last month and is being treated at a hospital in the northeastern city of Shenyang. The 61-year-old Liu was sentenced to 11 years in prison in 2009 for advocating democracy in China. In 2010, he received the Nobel Peace Prize, which infuriated the Chinese government. In the meantime, hopes are fading for dozens of people still missing following a deadly landslide in southwestern China, where 10 bodies have been recovered so far. Officials say 93 people remain missing after a huge landslide buried a mountain village in Sichuan province. South Korean Foreign Minister Kang Kyung-hwa said on Monday that Seoul has no intention of reversing its agreement with Washington over the deployment of the U.S. missile defense system THAAD.
My government has no intention to basically reverse the commitments made in the spirit of the ROK-US alliance. Going through the environmental impact assessment is an issue of domestic due process, and it does not mean that we will cancel or reverse the decision to deploy THAAD.
That is an acronym for the Terminal High Altitude Area Defense, and she made the remarks at a forum in the South Korean capital organized by a U.S. foreign policy think tank, the Center for Strategic and International Studies. Japanese auto parts manufacturer Takata said today it has filed for bankruptcy totaling about $9 billion. Matthew Lindley is head of the International Programs Department at Nagoya University in Japan.
It is the biggest bankruptcy for a manufacturer in Japan ever. A few years ago, Panasonic had serious debt, but this is the largest debt for a manufacturing company in Japan.
Takata has been overwhelmed with the cost of lawsuits and recalls related to defective airbags linked to the deaths of 16 people and scores of injuries worldwide. Joe Palca reporting from Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.